Good evening. There's this story. I find it such a inspiring story. Toby Weiss used to say, he still probably says the story over. It's a 100% true story that happened during the war. Do you know there was a Kindertransport, and there was lots of children that they were saved by during the war to brought to various places in England. Dr. Schoenfeld said the Kindertransport. My mother-in-law was also on it. What happened was that at one particular one occasion there was the older children they were without parents. They were looked after by Dr. Schoenfeld in other places. Where was it? There was a few places. It was in Leicester, perhaps. Do you know, anybody knows where they were? That's right. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And it was a few, and at one particular, and they were there without parents, and Dr. Schoenfeld really looked after them and cared for them as if it would be his own kids. It's well known that he gave away his own mattress and his own cover and his own bedroom even. He gave away for children that were saved, and it's quite unbelievable. And there was at one particular occasion, one of those homes, I've forgotten now which one it was, they had the privilege of welcoming one of the foreign minister. And again, when I read it, and I read it in two separate places, it was the name of the foreign minister during the war, but I've forgotten who it was. Who was the foreign minister in the war? Anybody know? Foreign minister? The English foreign minister during the war. I've forgotten his name. History? GCSE? History? No? History? GCSE? No? Okay, it said the name, I forgot. He was... the foreign minister himself was coming to visit that particular home. It's an unbelievable story. And just to visit and to say hello, and he was, of course, Dr. Schoenfeld was particularly excited about this incredible privilege, and a bit nervous about it, but at the same time, it's a great privilege. Prepared the children in advance, and they, all Shabbastik and all everything, a bit of a reception as well when he would come. And they were all told to line up according to age. So it was from the oldest to the youngest, according to the height. There was boys on one row, girls on the other side. And here comes that day with his, he comes with his two limousines, fancy limousines. They come in. First one drives. The first one is the foreign minister himself, and the one behind it is his entourage. I don't know who his secretary is. I don't know exactly who's in the second limousine behind him. And here they come to this to the home, and they're all told to stand in the line quietly, wait for him to drive past and to welcome, and then just to spend there for a few minutes and go on elsewhere. This is during the war years, and he drives past, and there's one of the children, then a little boy who unexpectedly jumps out of the row, and he jumps in front of the limousine, and he jumps out and he cries out, and he says and he cries out something. Of course, that it comes to an immediate stop. The limousine, obviously driving anyway quite slowly, but comes to an immediate stop as the boy's jumping out, crying and screaming. The boy, and they jump out. The foreign minister himself jumps out from one side, the chauffeur from the other side, and his boy starts screaming. And he says that, thank you so much for saving me, but what's the point of me being here if my parents are still in Germany, and Germany is in tremendous danger, my parents are in danger. What's the point of me being here if my parents are still in danger, and who knows what's going to happen to them? And what an embarrassment. Dr. Schoenfeld comes running from the other side. What an embarrassment. Instead of showing a cause of toiv and gratitude to this foreign minister, instead of that, he's like screaming and shouting and asking for his parents to be helped. And what an embarrassment. And he comes, Dr. Schoenfeld comes up to the foreign minister, and he says, I'm really apologetic about it. I'm really, really sorry. But he says, no, wait one second. I want to find out more. Who is this boy? And then he goes up to the boy who's just about calming down. And he says his name. And he says, where do your parents live? And he says, they know him, Leipzig or Nuremberg, a place in Germany. And he says, what's your father's job? And he tells him, he's a tailor. And he writes everything down. And Dr. Schoenfeld's apologetic. He says, no, leave me. And he goes out. Fine. After things calms down a little bit, they go back into the car, and the limousine drives off. Little did they know that as soon as they get the parsha finishes in the home, but the foreign minister goes back to his office and to the foreign ministry, and he finds out and makes a few phone calls, and he finds out that yes, indeed, this boy has his parents in that German city, and because he was so incredibly touched by the boy, he tries to arrange for a special visa for those parents. And while the children were saved, the parents himself weren't able to save himself. But at this point, when the foreign minister found out about it, he had personal interest in this particular case, in this particular this particular couple, in this particular parents, and he tries to arrange and organize and initiates a visa to be a special permit, because he was so touched by this boy crying out. He arranged for a visa, and these parents in Germany, they get by post a special delivery that they get a permit to enter. Everything was blocked, everything was closed, but they got a special visa and a permit to enter the United Kingdom. And yes, they were saved. Yes, they were saved. They were saved. So Reb Tovi Weiss asked the question. He says, why is it? What's the chus of that? Why would that they were all that? There was 150, 170 children in that home. Only one. All of them, they were all there without their parents. They were all there without their parents. And most of those, they didn't make it through the war. They were attacked, murdered during the war. But only one of them had the schuss that his parents were saved. And that boy, what's the difference? Why did he have the schuss that his parents were saved? And all the other ones, they were not saved. So what did he do different? What's the secret? Tovi Weiss answers the obvious. He said, because he actually cried out. And he didn't take it for granted. And he just cried out and he screamed out for help. Because he screamed out and yelled for help, he didn't take the situation as for granted. So he cried out for help. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu all got initiated and helped. And eventually his parents were saved. So the same with us as well. We sometimes are just not strong enough, not solid enough, not... We don't realize that if you cry out for help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take your help. And he says that, brings that in the context of Yom Noirom. He says, as we're approaching the Rosh Hashanah and we're towards the Slichas, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, then we have to realize that if you cry out to help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help and does help. It's just sometimes we're just complacent and we just like take it for granted, the situation for granted. Like the other 170 children in the home, they just took the situation for granted, but he actually jumped out and cried for help, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him. And that should give us a message that we should also sometimes not take things for granted, but cry out for help, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does help. Siman Tov Chof Gimel, say the Kriyas HaTorah B'Rosh Chodesh. After having discussed the halachas of Hallel, which we discussed previously, now we're moving on with the halachas of leaning on Rosh Chodesh. What's the halachas of leaning on Rosh Chodesh? Okay. Siman Tov Chof Gimel Tzif Aleph teaches us. Oy Mekadosh Tiskabel. First thing is that we say after Hallel we say Kadosh Tiskabel. Yeah, and then after that Moitzin Sefer Torah, we take out the Sefer Torah for Koyin Bar Bar, and we call up four people for Aliyas. Four people are called up. And Poichsin Mehem, we do not do less than four. We do not add to the four. Similarly, there's no haftorah. Why do we do four? Why don't we do three, like on a regular weekday? Why is there four on Rosh Chodesh? Oh, that's right, because there is extra kedusha. Yes, regular weekday is three, Rosh Chodesh is four, Shabbos jumps up, and we go up in kedusha. So yes, four is because it's not a regular weekday, and that is represented by having an additional year. Yeah, so it has to do with it. But in terms of the leaning, yeah, it has to do with it as well. Now, the Mishnah Berurah of Kotna Aleph tells us, Kadosh Tiskabel, the klal hu, there's a rule. The rule of thumb is, the kol yoyim sheish by Musaf, every day which has Musaf, oimrim Kadosh Tiskabel. We will recite Kadosh Tiskabel after Halal, to assume the Tefillah Shachis, because it is the end of Tefillah Shachis. We've got to realize that this Kaddish Tiskabel is connected to Shachis. Therefore, it's connected to Shemoneh Esrei. Therefore, it will be on the Chazan of Shemoneh Esrei to say this Kaddish Tiskabel. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen places that for Halal somebody else takes over. Have you ever seen such a thing? Yeah? For Halal somebody else takes over. Oh, good. Absolutely. But yeah, absolutely. So then... So what will be with the Kaddish Tiskabel following Hallel? Who's going to do that? That's right. Very good. That's it. That's this Mishnah over here.
Because I have Yosef, my late mother, who was in Rosh
Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh.
So I was told some shuls say you can do the whole lot.
Whole lot?
Other shuls say you can do up to, I think, Yishtabach, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I tend to do the whole lot, but there are some shuls that...
Say, that's precisely it. So some will do, like the Mishnah over here. Yes, so Yotzei Rosh Chodesh is a good example as well. So some people will do Shachis, and then Halal, somebody else will take over. And then when it comes to the Kaddish Tiskabel, it will need to go back to the chazan of Shachis, because as the Mishnah will teach us, the siyum in the Tefillah Shachis, it is, and it is connected, Tefillah Shachis is referring to the Shemana Esrei of Shachis. It's connected to that. Hence, it's not halal connected, but it's Shachis connected. Okay, so if base, there is an argument in that, Korei HaKohen Shloisha Psukim, the Korei lanes three Psukim, Shem Vaidaber Tzav V'Amarto, V'Levi says, Chozer V'Korei V'Amarto, the Levi starts again from V'Amarto, which is the third Pasuk of the Kohen, V'Korei Sakeves, Echot, V'Asiris V'Eifo, V'Yisrael Korei Oilas, Tomidat, V'Roshe Chodsheichem, V'Rvi Korei B'Roshe Chodsheichem, Adasoif. So these are the Pesukim. Now, the Mishnah goes into greater detail. I'm going to skip this Mishnah inside, but it is indeed various minogim how to do that. The crucial line that we've got to know, the crunch is, that it's the challenge is, what is the main problem? What is the main problem? Why is it there's various minhagim with regards to the laning? The point is that you always have got the lane, you've got a lane three psukim. And the question is how to make up those three psukim. Because you don't have three time, you don't have four times three psukim to divide it equally. You don't have a grand total of four times three psukim, and therefore you've got to go back one psukim. And the question is over here, how to go back to make every aliyah three psukim. So there's various minhagim in that, and every shul does according to its own minhag. Siv Gimel, Oyma Kaddish, after laning we say Kaddish. Again, there's no Novi, but after laning this Kaddish, Asherei Uvoletzien, Ve'ein Oymrem, we do not say Yan Hashem B'yom Tzor, we do not say Lam Natzeach, and after that, Machzir Sefer Torah L'mkoyim, after that we return the Sefer Torah to its Oren, to the right place. For Oymdim Leispalot Tfilas Musaf, when we say Musaf, is that the way order we do it? We say Asher Voletzien, and after we return the Sefer Torah, is that how we do it? That's right. That's not our minhag. That's Sfat. And the Mishnah indeed points out immediately in the first white lines of Kotan Dalet, Oym Kaddish Hainu Hachatzi Kaddish Shomer Al Abom Al Sefer Torah V'Achkach Asher Voletzien V'Chatzi Kaddish B'Shvil Apsukim Sh'Asher Voletzien. Right. Who Machzi Sefer Torah? Here in Sefkot and Heid, Mishnah Berurah teaches us, Uvim Kameinu HaMinek, in our place the Minek is, Shemach Zirin HaSefer Torah LeHeichol, that first we return the Sefer Torah to the Oroin, Ve'ach HaKriya, straight after laning, Kamo Shkos V'Rama, as the Rama says in Simon Chof Hei. So that's generally the Minek, right? How do you do it in any other shuls? I've actually seen one place that did it for, which one is, I saw a commuter's minion once that did it like this as well, like the Sfadim, because you save yourself time. Why do you save yourself time? Let's just figure that out. Because if you, whilst it's rolling, you can get on with Asher Voletzin already. Yes, yeah, so I've seen that. It's at least, let's say, for the commuters, this is a big deal. Yeah. Yeah, so, right. So it's either Nusach Sfad or Sfad. Chassidim, I think, do that as well. Sfadim, people are in a massive hurry. Yeah, but Nusach Ashkenaz Mishnah says, "Umkameinu aminik shemachzir and sefer Torah leheichol." The minik is generally that.
Sunday, if you're supposed to go on a Sunday, people generally not in a hurry.
Yeah. So it has to be a minik. If that's their minik, then you have to stick to it. It can't be officially because of the time gain. It can't be officially, so it must be their minik. Yeah. And then Shulchan Aruch goes into Musaf. So you go over Musaf, and then we say Kesa. Is that what we say? Kesa? Kesa Yitnu Lecha? That's not the Sfat. Nusach Sfat. Ukshmagia Lemeloi Chol Aretz Kvoido, Umelu Mosu Meshapchem, which is what? Kmoi B'Ktush Shachis, which is, yeah, what they say by Ktush Shachis. V'achshim Chazor Asat Tefillin, after they've gone over, after Chazor Asat Shatz of Musaf, Oyma Kaddish, Kaddish is recited, V'Oyma, Mizma Baruch Hinaf Shesasem, and then, Baruch Hinaf Shesasem is said. Mishnah Berurah Sif Kotan Vav teaches us a few nischos. Interesting. He says follows, Yesh Ezi Shuni nischos. He says, Yesh Kam Zikon Lekulam Yu, some say Zikon Lekulam Yu, and some say Zikon Lekulam Yi Yu. So is the correct nusach hoyu or yiyu? Some others say yesh am zikon lekulonu yeh. Ve'en leshan hashem minik. Whatever your minik is, whether you say it in the first way, Zikaron Lekulam Hoyu, or whether you say Zikaron Lekulam Yiyu, or you even say Zikaron Lekulanu, yeah, either way, it's a fine nosach, it's fine. What's generally the nosach? What do we say generally? Which one? Number one, two, or three? Yeah, generally, I've never heard anything else, actually. Zikaron Lekulam Yiyu, I think that's generally the nosach. Have you heard anything else? I think that's generally the nosach. Umin chosam ben iskem. Yeah, that's also the minik. And then Mishnah Berurah goes on and it says es musaf instead of ves musaf. And then it says velecha poras pasha. Chaporas pasha is only said on, when do we say chaporas pasha? Only if it's a leap year. Some say that if it's not leap year, you can also say it. But again, it says it depends on the minik. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, back to Siv Zayin, Siv Dalet, bottom line of Shulchan Aruch says, Noyagin lach lo it's tefillin, the meaning is to take off the tefillin. Ksheroitzim is palin musaf, when you dav musaf, you take off the tefillin. Why?
After Hallel, you mean you take it off.
We even said, well, no. So, so he says, Noyagin lach lo it's tefillin, the custom is to take off tefillin. Ksheroitzim is palin musaf, just prior to musaf.
So that means after Hallel?
Yeah, even later than that. What happens after Hallel? Kesetoyer. Leaning, and after leaning? Asher Valetzian. And that's generally when people take it off.
Because I was told you in the regular.
Chalamoid or Rosh Chodesh?
No, just in the regular, you shouldn't take it off until after the second Valetzian.
That's it. That's what he said, just before Musaf. Absolutely, that's correct. You will take them off before Musaf. Why do we not have tefillin on for Musaf? Why do we take them off for Musaf? Kesa?
That's what I heard. It doesn't say.
Mishmur says, bottom lines, I've gotten yud, hatam, the k'moshe menechin tefillin b'yom tev, just like you won't wear tefillin in yom tev, mishum shu yom tev atzma ois, because it's an ois, he said there's a Yom Tov element during Musaf. Shemaskirin, that we mentioned Musaf Yayoim. We mentioned Musaf, Kabonis, extra Kabonis that were brought. So there's a little bit of a Yom Tov element in it. Therefore, we take them off.
When you do Halel on Yom Tov like Pesach, some people have
the Chalamoed.
Some people don't wear them at all.
Absolutely. Who do, they will take them off.
Except the first day, isn't it?
Yes, first day of Cholam, yeah. Because we mentioned tefillin. So that's why some people keep them on. For first day Cholam Moed, Pesach, we keep them on until after Lenin because we mentioned Vohu L'Toy Tofoyis Ben Nenechov,
K'shatam L'Oy Saladech. But then why do people who don't wear tefillin, it doesn't
make sense? Yeah, right. But some people will have the minik to keep them on for until after Lenin. Like on Rosh Chodesh, on the first day. Yeah. Now, when is the correct time to take off the tefillin? I wonder what your meaning is. When exactly do you take them off? On Rosh Chodesh. At what point precisely? Just before Kaddish. Oh. Does everybody do that? Just before Kaddish? When do you take them off? Before Kaddish or after Kaddish? You meaning is take before Kaddish. Okay, we'll see what the reason might be. Oh, she's saying that you should keep them on until after Kaddish. After Kaddish. So I also think that generally the meaning is to take them off after Kaddish. But Mishnah Berurah brings over something interesting, and there are people who do that. Kosra Prima Godim, that's the second line on this page 570 Mishnah Berurah. Kosra Prima Godim, Shiyesh Lachlo, it's a tefillin, it is better to take off the tefillin. When you say Uvol Etzion Koydim Yirotzen Shenish Mechukecha, you should take them off before reciting in Uvol Etzion the words Yirotzen Shenish Mechukecha Boilam Azeh. Some take it off at that point before you say Yirotzen. V'yeishne again Rak Lachlo Tzretzuas Ma'etz Bakoydim Yirotzen. Some start taking them off when you say Yirotzen Shenish Mechukecha Boilam Azeh. Miu. However, Kol Zerak B'Rosh Chodesh, that's only with regards to Rosh Chodesh. However, B'Chol HaMoed, in terms of Chol HaMoed, Shu Yom Tov Gom, Yesh Lachzim Kodim HaHalel, we've taken them off before Halel. So, on Chol HaMoed, you take them off before Halel. But when it comes to Rosh Chodesh days, various minhagim. Either you take them off after Kaddish. I still think that's the most common minhag, after Kaddish. And some take them off before Kaddish by Yiratzen. Some take them off completely before Yiratzen. And some start taking them off by Yiratzen. And if you look around, you see that there are people who do that. They will start them. And that's the start, that's according to some, the right time to take it off. I'm not sure, I think you minhag generally is to take them off after Kaddish. There is a problem of hefsek, once you know it. So that's why some people, what do we do about hefsek? I said, generally, you have to make sure that there's no long interruption between Kaddish and Musaf. So what's the best way to avoid a long interruption? What do we do about it?
They don't rush them, right? We just take them off.
Very good. So I think that's the best. To just take them off without actually wrapping them. So some people can do it really, if you do it really quickly and the chazan is schlepping a bit, then you could, might as well. Yeah, so now, there are people that are concerned about bizonah tefillin. They say it's disrespectful to keep tefillin lying around. And I think, you just take them off when you leave me out. It depends on minhag, I think. Some people are more bothered about the hefsek. Some people are more bothered about bizoyin atfilin. It depends. Some people will do the follow. That's what I was mashved. Some people will put the tefillin in the bag, or they cover it with a tefillin bag. A bit like, if you cover them, a bit like shofar, yeah, or a bit like the chalas. What's the cheshbon for hand? What's that? Why do you do that?
Not to embarrass.
So my shver claims that's what he got from his father and grandfather, that you also don't want to embarrass the tefillin as well. You know, suddenly you're davening Shemoneh Esrei and they're like lying around like this. So you don't want to embarrass the tefillin. But you put them in the box. Yeah, you will put them in the box.
Yeah. Put them in the box.
Yeah. And then you cover. Yeah, you put them in the box, and then some people will make sure that it's covered. But even if not, yeah, it's fine as well. But some people have got that minhag. I know that some people are concerned about the bizoyin atfilin, that's why they'll wrap it up. If you think you can make it, depends on the chazan, depends on the minion, depends on the time. But some people can put them back put them back away before Musaf. What happens if somebody forgets to take the tefillin off?
He's made
of Shemoneh Esrei, suddenly realizes, oh no, totally, look at that. What do you do then? You should take them off made of Shemoneh Esrei. Ois, it's a Musaf, it's Yom Tov, and you've got, it's not Mamash Yom Tov. So you should keep them on, run, take them off made of Shemoneh Esrei. Middle of Shemoneh Esrei, Hefsek. Yeah, good question. I really don't know. Well, I know that on Yom Tov. Yeah, so you are right. You are right that if a person forgot to take off.
What about the other way around? If the tzibbur is about to start and you haven't got time to take them off.
Oh, interesting.
Them on,
Okay, very interesting Shaila. Really interesting Shaila. I don't know what to say. So I know that what I did see is the post can say that if you by mistake keep the tefillin on. So just keep them on for Muslim, and it's fine. Don't take them off in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, because it's not proper Yom Tov, and it's not the end of the world to say Muslim with. But your question is a very interesting question. What happens if you are still wearing the tefillin, and you're still saying, you're still in Kaddish, and suddenly you're starting Shemoneh Esrei of Muslim, and you're still wearing the tefillin? What are you meant to do then? Are you meant to start Muslim with the tefillin? Or you meant to quickly take them off? I would say you're probably still taking them off, because according to many poskim, if you start a few seconds after the tzibur, it's still considered tefillah b'tzibur, so you're not losing out so much. So you probably should take them off. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, so that's it for this evening. Let's just quickly recap what we covered. We spoke about Kaddish Tiskabel, to be said after Halal. It's connected to Shachris. We learned four aliyahs, and we said there's various minhagim how the four aliyahs go. We spoke about after the laning, no after, but you go for Kaddish, Ashrei Uvoletzion, you don't say Lam Natzach, Sefer Torah is returned in its right time back to the Oren, you go for Musaf, And Musaf is a little bit in line with Yom Tovim. Therefore, you don't wear tefillin, and it's got the kedusha of Yom Tov as well, according to some. Afterwards, we say Baruch Nafshi. There is a Mishnah Berurah that tells us that the reason why we take tefillin off, it's because a bit like Yom Tov, and these are the halachas discussed. Yeah, okay. Very good. Okay, good evening, Abbasan.